Welcome to the Forward Church Podcast. We're so glad you joined us today. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast to stay up to date with our latest episodes. Now let's get ready to dive into today's message. We know you'll be blessed.
God is good. Amen. We've already experienced this Holy Spirit in this house already. I'm ready to preach this word today. I'm excited. I want to do a quick introduction, but before I do, just let me say, man, it's just amazing. It's just amazing to look around and see all the new faces. I want to do something real quick. If you just joined our church or started attending our church in the past 4 years, lift up your hand. Just wave your hand. Wow. Now, if you've been here 5 years or longer, wave your hand at me. Man, that's amazing. God is just adding new people to our story. And I told the staff this morning in prayer. There's really not a Sunday that goes by where we don't have someone new here. Our guests are with us every single Sunday. And I started this Holy Spirit series 4 weeks ago. Actually, this is part three. Pastor Rod preached last Sunday, and I want to give him credit where credit is due. He brought an amazing word last Sunday during our senior recognition. If you're taking notes, you probably had some interesting notes to put down. No, I'm just playing. But it was a great word. But part one and part two of Holy Spirit, I've got to set this up today because we took a week off, right? Part one and part two of the Holy Spirit really dealt with who the Holy Spirit is. It dealt with a lot of misconceptions about the Holy Spirit, and it really helped people who are new to the teachings and preachings on the Holy Spirit, because let's just face it, there's so many denominations out there today that stray away from preaching and teaching on the Holy Spirit, mainly in my personal opinion. Well, two reasons. Number one is because people are afraid of what they don't understand. So they're afraid. They just stay away from it. They would rather not deal with it. And number two, I believe the enemy has caused controversy surrounding the topic of the Holy Spirit because the enemy understands the importance and the power behind Holy Spirit operating in the believer and through the believer. And so those two reasons is really why God has laid on my heart to deal with this topic and to preach this series. So part one, part two was who the Holy Spirit is, just getting to know him. He's our helper. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is as much God as God the Father and God the Son. He's not a second class person of the Trinity. He's not the weird uncle of the family, right? That you just feel awkward every time they show up around Thanksgiving and Christmas, right? But that's how a lot of people view the Holy Spirit, like this weird uncle that they get uncomfortable when you know. Ooh, but here's the thing: the Holy Spirit is our helper. He is for us. He's not against us. He empowers us. Part two, we talked about the power that works on the inside of us that is able to accomplish above and beyond anything that we could ever ask or imagine through the Spirit. The Bible says through the Spirit that is in us. Who is the Spirit in us? The Holy Spirit, right? And so he is for you and he is necessary. I just want to say this. He is necessary in the life of the believer today. You say, do I need the Holy Spirit to make it to heaven? You need the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart. You need the Holy Spirit to drive up I-10. Come on, somebody. And so I'm just saying it's important to deal with this. So let me set this up this morning. Does anyone here know a man by the name of D.L. Moody? D.L. Moody. He was an awesome preacher and evangelist. In the late 1800s, he was pastor of a church in Chicago. He was doing great, but eventually two elderly women in his congregation, thank God for those elders in the church, amen. You're gonna love these names, Auntie Cook and Miss Snow. Everybody needs an Auntie Cook and a Miss Snow. They began to pray for Moody to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He kindly explained to them his position on this. He was not a man who was brought up in the teachings and the preachings on the Holy Spirit. So he explained to them his position on this, and he kindly just moved on. But according to Moody, the women continued to pray for him. And as his heart was open to the topic, he began to see what God's word had to say. How many of y'all know it's always important to see what God's word has to say? And through the scripture, he saw clearly the power of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and realized that this was something he lacked. So he began to pray. Not long afterward, God answered the cry of D.L. Moody's heart. One day, he was talking, he was taking a walk through the streets of New York when something remarkable happened. His friend R.A. Torrey described it this way. He was walking up Wall Street in New York, and in the midst of the bustle and hurry of that city, his prayer was answered. The power of God fell on him, and as he walked up the street, he had to hurry off to the house of a friend and ask that he might have a room to himself. And in that room, he stayed alone for hours, and the Holy Ghost came upon him, filling his soul with such joy that at last he had to ask God to withhold his hand lest he die on the spot from very joy. He went out from the place with the power of the Holy Ghost upon him. And when he got to London, the power of God wrought through him mightily in North London, and hundreds were added to the churches. I'm going to tell you, when you're open to God, God will fill you, and God will do amazing works in you, and God will do amazing works through you. I want you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 19 today. Acts chapter 19, if you have your Bibles. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6 as our main text today. And I want you to keep your Bibles handy, though, because we're going to be referring to a lot of Scripture. How many of y'all love the Scripture? You love the Word of God? You're going to get a lot of it today, okay? Because this is more or less, the first part of this is going to seem like teaching, but it's important. It's important because the Bible says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, like Paul says. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the Holy Spirit. So we're going to dive into this. Acts chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. If you got it, say, I got it. If not, it'll be up on the screen, and it says this. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. That's what I feel like some of the world is at today. Like we didn't even know about this, you know. And you think I'm joking when I say that, but I could bring you up a elderly woman in our church right now who grew up in a certain denomination. And her testimony when she came here was, Pastor, I didn't even know this was available. I felt like I've been cheated my whole life. And this is real. This is real. Then Paul said, let's look at verse 3. He said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. So what was John preaching? John was preaching what? Repentance for the remission of your sins. That's what John was preaching. Verse 4, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus, right? You believe on Christ Jesus, you repent, you put your faith in Christ, you're saved, right? Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Don't get nervous. We're going to do some teaching today, okay? We're going to deal with this. We've been ankle deep. We've been knee deep. We're going to get a little deeper today, okay? We're going to get a little deeper. Today we're going to look at part 3 in this series titled Holy Spirit. Will you pray with me? God, I love you, and I thank you, God, for this opportunity to preach your word. I just pray, God, hide me behind your cross. God, let everything I say be ordained by you, nothing more, nothing less, God. I pray, Lord, let these words pierce the hearts of this congregation, that we would just be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. And I pray, God, Father, not my will, but your will be done in this place today. I don't want a single soul to leave this place, God, the same way we walked in, Father. But I want us to be changed, renewed, revived by the power and the authority of your Holy Spirit, God. And I'll be quick to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for everything that's accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, fist bump 2 or 3 people and say, buckle your seatbelt. You know, seeing God's people walking in close friendship with the Holy Spirit and being empowered by that fellowship is one of Satan's worst nightmares. It's one of Satan's worst nightmares to to know that there is a congregation and a church and a movement that is not only walking in the Spirit, but is being just used by the Holy Spirit, not only to do a work in them, but do a work through them. And that's why the devil tries, I believe, his best to stir up controversy on this topic. Why does so much confusion surround the connection between baptism and the Holy Spirit? Why does so much confusion, why does so much controversy surround this topic today? I want to try to answer this question for you. I believe it comes in part because the Bible mentions several baptisms. There's several baptisms that's mentioned in the Bible, two of which involve the Holy Spirit. There's two baptisms recorded in Scripture, plainly, clearly, in black and white, that involve the Holy Spirit. And there's actually three in total that I want to talk about or I want to teach about up front. This is going to be teaching up front, and then we may get into some preaching later. And you know the only difference between teaching and preaching is what? One of them is just louder than the other. That's really the only difference. So here's the thing. Number one, let's look at these three baptisms. First and foremost, we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Notice my language there. I did not say baptism in the Holy Spirit. I said baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there is a difference. There is a difference. Some of y'all are looking at me confused, but I'm about to answer your question right now. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by, somebody say by, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one what? Body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. By one Spirit, we are all baptized. Week one of Holy Spirit, I told you that his first and foremost job within the church is to convince us or convict us of what? Sin, which draws us to repentance. And when we repent, we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that 1 Corinthians is talking about right here is actually talking about salvation. Because it's the Holy Spirit that baptizes us into the body of Christ. The agent is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who's doing the baptizing. And he's baptizing us into the body of Christ. That's why I said it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, I know it's a grammar lesson, but I hope we're all smart enough in here to understand there's a difference. Note the grammar. It's important. Don't fall asleep just because I said grammar. It uses the preposition by, meaning through the agency or instrumentally of. In other words, by refers to who is doing the action, and in this case, he's the one baptizing. And who is the one baptizing? The Holy Spirit. I need your help preaching this. Don't look at me like a bunch of confused chameleons in the room this morning. Come on. The Scripture is clear. By one Spirit, we are all baptized. Into what? One body. What is the body? The body of Christ, the church. When you are saved, you are baptized into the body of Christ. This is very, and I don't want to sound whatever right here, but this is very spiritual foundation 101 teaching. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of understanding or a lack of knowledge. Later on in this sermon, I'm going to read a scripture where Paul's saying, can we move on from the doctrine of baptisms? Meaning the plural, and I'm preaching, I'm getting ahead of myself, meaning the doctrine of baptisms, plural, it should be foundational principle, elementary, spiritual 101, Christianity. But you've got so many people straying away from this teaching today that when someone gets up here like this and preaches on it, everybody cocks their head over sideways like a little puppy, you know? And I don't mean to sound condemning right there, I'm just saying this is the condition, this is the spiritual condition which we live in today because people have strayed away from this teaching. So let's move on. It's the Holy Spirit that's baptizing us into the body of Christ. When you experience salvation, we are all baptized into the same body, the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit is the agent who did the baptizing. That's number one. Number two, water baptism. That's not controversial, is it? Everybody believes in water baptism. Next Sunday, we're having water baptism. So your first step or your next step after you're saved is what? Water baptized, because we follow after the example of Christ Jesus. Water baptism represents what? Out with the old, in with the new. Being buried with Christ Jesus and being raised in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation. That's what baptism symbolizes. It's an outward testimony of an inward commitment, right? This is what Jesus commands of us in the Great Commission. What does it signify? The burying of the old and the resurrection of the new. And these are the first two baptisms, and they aren't controversial at all, really. Salvation, which is not controversial. Most everybody believes, I hope, that we're only saved. There's only one name under heaven by which we are saved. That's Jesus Christ. We can only be drawn to salvation by the Holy Spirit. How can one come to salvation unless he is drawn? And number two, after you're saved, it's an understood thing. Be baptized. That's the two baptisms that a lot of people will just say, yeah, I'm with you on that. But what about the third? What about the third? It's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Look at this. This is important. Look at what John the Baptist says here in Matthew. Look at Matthew 3, verse 11. I told you we're going to be using a lot of scripture today. Matthew 3, verse 11 says this. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Who is this? This is John, right? John talking. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Watch this. The first baptism, who was the agent doing performing the baptism? The Holy Spirit. In the third baptism, who is the agent performing the baptism? Jesus. Do you see the difference here? And I'm not trying to get so controversial. I'm trying to preach scripture. Nearly everyone knows and agrees that John is talking about Jesus right here. And as a matter of fact, this statement is found in all the gospels, so it must be pretty important, right? If there's a scripture in all four of the gospels that's stated in all four of them, it must be pretty important. God decided to put it in there four times. So don't look over it, right? So here's the thing. Let's ask ourselves some questions here. Who's doing the baptism in these verses? It's Jesus. What is he baptizing us in or with? He's baptizing us in the Holy Spirit. In other words, only Jesus performs this baptism. He's immersing us in the Holy Spirit, which is what baptism means. Baptism literally means immersion. It's not just the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at salvation that regenerates our soul and brings our dead spirit, quickens our dead spirit to life, but it's an immersion in the Holy Spirit, a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Not only is he in you, he's all over you. Come on, somebody. And it's an fullness and empowerment. This is better preaching than what y'all are letting on this morning. This should be so clear to us that, and I know I'm going to get all the comments after church. Pastor, I was just listening. Yeah, but you know Pentecostal pastors, we get nervous when it's quiet. Every once in a while, we just like to hear, preach it, preacher. Amen. Come on. Thank you. Praise God. I would say, I don't know. I'm not going to embarrass him. He grew up Baptist, and I'm over here. He's the one amening me. Now he's in this Pentecostal thing and loving it. I mean, he don't even call himself Baptist-costal anymore. He's full-blown Pentecostal. Come on, somebody. Praise God. If that embarrasses you, you can get me back sometime. This should be so clear to us that here's what the book of Hebrews has to say about it. This was the scripture I was talking about earlier in my message. Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles, come on, somebody, elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. See, Paul was so frustrated that people was still trying to follow the law. They were still trying to follow he's like, do I have to keep on preaching this? You're only saved by grace through faith. So let's move on from that teaching. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So you're only saved by faith. Come on, believing in Jesus Christ, repenting, being baptized. And of the doctrine of baptisms, plural, right? I'm not the smartest and the sharpest tool in the shed. But when you add an S on the end of the word, it makes it what? Plural. It makes it plural. The doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, and I feel like every time we get up here and have an altar call, I've got to explain to people why, what we believe. And it's because we've got this water, I'm about to preach, we've got a watered down version of Christianity today, and all it is, listen to me, all it is a religion that has a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, that doesn't understand all of this, so they're scared of it, so they just rather stray away from it. And when they stray away from it, they are void of the power thereof. I gotta calm down. The laying on the hands, the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. There it is. Christianity 101. That's what we believe. And I've told people this time and time again. If it's in the Bible, we believe it. If it's not in the Bible, we don't believe it. But the problem is, so many people today have grown up being taught things that are not in the Bible, and they think it's in the Bible. And so they build their faith on a traditional foundation. Why do you think that the worship team got up here and paved the way for the pastor today? See, Judah was sent ahead of the pastor today, and there was some praise and worship that went forth that said, break up the foundation of tradition in this house. Break down the walls of religion in this house. I'm gonna pull a line. Come on, everybody around here loves quoting him, so I'll just quote him this morning. One of the fastest growing groups of Christianity in the world today is not a group of people that is just coming in, singing three songs, going through the motion, just going through a religious thing without the fullness of God. But the fastest growing group in Christianity today that are people who are hungry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit with all the signs, all the wonders, and all the power. Because they understand, and the world knows today, that's the only thing that can pull them out of where they're at. That's the only hope that people have for the next generation. That's the only hope that I have for my sons and daughters. If I raise them in religion, they're gonna get sick and tired of it. Because all religion says is follow these rules. All religion says is do this and don't do that. But if I raise them in the power and the authority of the Word of God, in the power and the authority of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I want them to experience something that's real. I want them to experience something that's authentic. I want them to experience something that's not man-made, but only God can get the glory for it. And if only God gets the glory for it, then man can't take it away from them. Hallelujah. Plural. That's where we were at. Meaning more than one. Let's look at some examples. I'm just halfway through this. Acts 2, 38, 39. Remember, we're talking about three baptisms today. Here's examples. Because if it's in Scripture, we follow it, right? Then Peter said, this is Acts 2, 38 and 39. Peter said to them, repent and let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Right? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, your children, and to those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. I'm just going to step out on a limb here and say this. The signs and wonders and the power of the Holy Spirit is still for the church today. It's still for us. We are still living in the New Testament church. We are still living in the dispensation of grace period. in the timeline of the Word of God, the rapture has not took place yet. The perfect has not come, meaning the New Jerusalem has not been established yet. And as long as we are still living in the dispensation period of grace and the operation of the New Testament church, the gifts that God provided for the church and the Holy Spirit that God poured out on the, is still for the church. And it's still not only for the church, but it's still, you know what I get out from behind this, it's still relevant today. And if there, and I'm not talking about relevance in lights and fog and contemporary, traditional, or redback hymnal, or praise and worship. That has nothing to do with relevance. Relevance is talking about having a message today. Relevance is talking about having a word today that when someone who is hurting and someone who is broken and someone who is in bondage comes in your church house, they can hear the word of God and be delivered. And be set free, not leave in more bondage than when they come in. And I'm afraid that we've got too many people today walking into church houses in shame and depression and bondage with anxiety, bound with all of these spiritual deficiencies, and then they're leaving in more bondage than what they came in because all they hear is a bunch of malarkey. Preacherettes, preaching sermonettes, and all the congregation wants to do is get out early so they can go smoke their, never mind. I got that from another pastor of mine one time. Look at this, Acts chapter 8, 12 through 17. But when they believed, this one's good. When they believed, Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. They believed. They were baptized. They were saved. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and he was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Verse 12, two of the three baptisms are found in that verse. They believed. They believed. This means the people receive the baptism of salvation when they believe. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Then they were baptized in water. That's two. What about the third baptism? I don't see it. Pastor, where it is? Where it is? Where it is? Where it is? Show it. Okay. Look at verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John. Ooh! They sent the big guns. They said, here we go. It's like when Pastor gets Cassie up here to bring, you know, when Cassie gets up here, y'all better watch out, right? They say, you know, that's the big guns. Anyway, spiritually speaking, that is. They sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive. The whole time, they're on their way. Man, I pray. Hey, I can just hear the conversation. I'm going to read between the lines a little bit right here. Peter and John, they're on their way. They're praying. God, when we get there, God, I pray, Lord, that they experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit, Father. I pray, Lord, that you pour it out on them, God, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And I can just see them, hear them right now. You ready, Peter? Yeah, I'm ready, John. Let's go. Let's do it. They're getting fired up. And they walk into that thing, and here's what happens. Y'all ready for this? It says, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So there it is right there. They've already been saved. They've already been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? So there's no question whether or not they're saved. There's no question on whether or not they're going to heaven. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit right there. See, you've waited too late to tell me that I just get it all at salvation. That didn't set like I thought it would. You waited too late to tell me that all that God has for me, that God's just gonna, just, that's all I can have. No, the goodness of God extends. He says my future is from glory to glory. He's got more in 24. And I'm believing that there's going to be some people under the sound of my voice today. You walked into the... A lot of pastors would say you walked into the wrong service today. But this pastor is saying you walked into the right service today. You walked into the right service. Notice what this scripture doesn't say. It doesn't tell us that when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who gave them the right hand of fellowship because they had everything they needed. Listen, I'm not knocking anything. But it's not the right hand of fellowship that empowers the believer. It's not the right hand of fellowship that empowers you to go out and overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of God. See, it's the fullness, it's the baptism in the Holy Spirit that is for you, your sons, and your daughters today. That when you walk outside of the four walls of this church, you might not remember the right hand of fellowship. You might not remember the membership class. You might not remember any of that, but you're going to remember when the enemy comes against you, it's going to be too late, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not only on the inside of you, but he's all over you. And you're the enemy's worst nightmare. And so here's my heart today. Listen to this. This pattern that we see all throughout the scripture. I preached all of that. Now we're getting back to our main text. And I'm already a minute over my time. Here's the thing. That was my introduction. Here's my main text. Acts 19, let's break this down really quick. It happened while Apollos was at Corinth. We know... For Bible readers in here, we know that even Apollos had to be brought to the side by who? Priscilla, Aquila, to explain to him that there was more than what he was preaching and teaching. He was very intellectual, but he was lacking in this one thing. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples. If you are a disciple, what does that mean? You're saved, right? You're a Christ follower. You follow Christ. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They said to him, "We've not so much heard." Here's some things to consider here. The people Paul encounters are disciples. They already believe, number one. Number two, Paul doesn't seem to have any doubt in his mind that someone can come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, yet not receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There was no doubt. There was no question. As I read this scripture, there's no question in Paul's mind that someone could come to faith, saving grace, saving faith in Jesus Christ. And he understood that they still might not have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean they're not saved. It just means that they have not experienced the third baptism. Notice this Paul question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? By the way, I love the response of the believers. So they said to him, "We've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." So here's what Paul automatically says. Well, okay, here's what I need to do. See, Paul wrote over half the New Testament. He's very smart. Here's what he does. Paul checks to make sure these people are actually saved. He says, okay, because the only prerequisite for the baptism in the Holy Spirit is salvation. Period. Okay, that's it. So he understands, I'm not even going to pray for them to experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit if they're not saved. So I'm going to check to make sure they're saved. Verse 3, he says, "What baptism were you baptized into?" They said, "John's baptism." He said, "Okay, good." Because he knows what John preached. He knew John preached repentance. He knew John wasn't preaching a works-based religion. He knew John was preaching repentance and faith alone by grace alone and being saved. He said, "Okay, good. That's what you believe. I know without a shadow of a doubt, if you put your faith in that and you repented of your sins, you're saved." And he said, verse 4, then Paul said, indeed, indeed. Okay, and he's getting excited. Indeed, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were water baptized right then, right there. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. You see all three baptisms in that one scripture right there. And for some reason, the enemy has made it so controversial in the church today, and it blows my mind when we have such availability to the power and the authority of God. God has supplied everything we need according to his riches and glory. And why am I so passionate about this topic today? It's because I'm tired of seeing even believers walk around like they have no spiritual authority, like they are just some defeated foe. But no greater is he. Greater is he. So I'm closing with this. Everybody stand. I got to land this plane. What was Jesus' final instructions to his disciples? Many think that his final words were the Great Commission, to go. But can I tell you that was not Jesus' final words to the disciples? Jesus' final words was not go, but to wait. His final words before he ascended into heaven, he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. It says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That's Luke 24 and 49. My question today is, what about you? Because it's very simple today. Very simple, cut and dry, black and white. This is all about the three baptisms. Number one, being baptized into the body of Christ. Salvation. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, my prayer is that before you walk out of these doors, you know that you know that you know that you know where you stand in eternity. Number two, water baptism. You say, Pastor, I don't see a baptism up here. It's next Sunday. So your altar call today, if you're saved and you hadn't been water baptized, is to pull out that church center app and sign up for baptism. Notice the... You ain't even got to walk up front to do that. Just pull it out, register. Number three. You ready for this? Holy Spirit baptism. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. It might scare you to death, but that doesn't mean it's not God. God has called me into a lot of things that has scared me to death before, but you know what? It was his perfect and divine will for my life. That's why he gives us the Comforter. And I'm going to tell you probably why you're scared this morning is because this is new to you. And we're afraid of what's new to us because we like the comfort. We like the traditional walls that we've built around us and our little comfort zone, right? And the enemy wants you to stay in your little comfort zone. But I'm going to challenge you today. I'm about to pray, and one of three things is about to take place. Number one, so there's going to be a worship team up here, and they're going to lift up praise and worship off this platform. Why? Because God said, I inhabit the praises of my people. And the scripture tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And liberty means there's freedom in the house, meaning there's no constraints. There's no, I can't move. Liberty means I'm about to bust through my aisle because I can't get to that altar fast enough. That's what liberty means. Okay? Number two, so there's going to be an altar team up here. And they're going to do this. They're going to simply say, what can I pray for you about today? That's what they're going to do. They're not gonna make you do anything you don't want to do. Number one, they're gonna ask you, are you saved? Because you might come up here and say, Pastor, I need prayer for a hurt toe. Y'all have heard me say this before. Well, guess what? If your toe gets healed before you leave, praise God. But if you don't leave here and your soul ain't saved, then I didn't do my job. I want to make sure that you know that you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Number three, This is all on you. You're going to have an opportunity to respond. I'm not going to come pull you out of your seat. I'm not going to come grab you by your ear. I wish I could, but it's all on you. Are y'all ready for this? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. As soon as I say amen, these altars are open. God, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray from the front to the back, God, from wall to wall. Holy Spirit, come. Have your way in this house right now. I pray, Lord Jesus, for salvation. I pray for restoration. I pray for baptisms in your Holy Spirit, God. And I give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with our most recent episodes. To find out more, visit us at forwardchurchonline.com. There you can connect with us, learn more about our ministries, and submit any prayer requests you may have. We hope you join us again soon.